Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrian, writer of stories and songs, witch, emergent strategist, pleasure activist, and homeowner living in the land of the Shikori, Skururei, Tuscora, Eno, and Lumbee peoples. And this is How to Survive the End of the World, our podcast about learning from apocalypse with grace, rigor, and curiosity. When I say our, of course, I'm including my sister, Autumn, who's away on sabbatical. In her absence, and in honor of my book, Fables and Spells, I'm going full witch this season and having conversations with my favorite witches and teachers. And I'll also read you little bits and pieces from the book as we go. As a reminder, what I mean by witch are people who work with elements of the natural world, including human nature, to generate more possibilities. Witching is engaging the essential natural world with magic, healing, or supernatural intentions. Some names for what I'm including in witch work: shamanism, sorcery, seeing and healing, herbalism, midwifery and doula work, reiki, root work, conjuring, ritual, spell casting, astrology, and divination. All these ways that we build direct relationships with the realm of the ancestors, the spirit, the holy, the ethereal, and ourselves. As a reminder, we don't have any ads on this show. We don't have any sponsors or big backing funders. This show runs on listener support. So if you're not already part of our whole Patreon crew, roll over to patreon.com/endoftheworldshow and join the club. You get access to Ask Us Anythings that are outrageously good with Autumn and myself. And those are going to happen all through the sabbatical. So if you miss Autumn, especially, you want to go over there and get it. You can also get cute mugs and original artwork from myself and other pieces. So it's worth it. Okay. My guest today is one of my faves, and she's a Gemini. She's a Gemini. It was just her birthday. I've got Moya Bailey here today. Moya Bailey is in the house. You probably know her as the creator of the term misogynoir. That's like one of her biggest claims to fame, but she's also just an outstanding American writer. She's part of the Octavia E. Butler Legacy Network. She has been involved in, I feel like you're someone who's like crunk feminist and like sort of like behind the scenes on like all these different projects that have shaped the culture. And now you're a professor at Northwestern University. And I think we're having a homeowner to homeowner conversation as well. This is my first time being in this position, which I never imagined being in, but I am so happy you're here, Moya Bailey.
I'm so excited to be here and talk all things witchy with you.
I'm excited about it too. And, you know, I am excited because I think a lot of people would not think of you necessarily as being on the witchy side of business, but Moya and I are working on a book that is going to be about astrology specifically for people who are in movement, because we're both like low-key super nerd witch people.
It's true. There's something about astrology at its core that to me is really helpful for how we interact with each other. And something Demita Frazier just said to me recently is that astrology is like about possibility. It's not necessarily intention or for sure, but there's something about astrology that gives us an opening into what might be.
Yeah. I really love that. I want to dig into that. First, I want to ask you just how you are right now today, in the immediate wake of your birthday. How are you doing?
I am feeling excellent. I had an incredible birthday, which of course had astrology moving through it. So I did a little mapping of my party attendees to see what people's sun signs were. And surprisingly, I have very few Leos and Libras in my life.
I'm not surprised by that.
All the other signs were very represented, but
I have found that Libras and Gemini often don't mix because it's very divergent ways of holding duality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you would think that as air signs, we'd be like right there. And also Leo, fire. I love me a Sagittarius, you know? Yeah. So it's always interesting how those things show up in different ways.
Well, my experience that Leo and Gemini at a party is when I understand why it doesn't mix, because Leo's are like, I would like the attention of this party based on what I'm doing. And Gemini are like, but I would like the attention of this party based on what I'm saying and thinking.
Ooh.
And there's something that, you know, plays out between the two where it's like, okay, can we get the dance floor popping? Can we get the conversation popping? I have just seen this head bumping. You know, it's balanceable if you're a Virgo. You can figure out how to get the party arranged. So, okay, that's really sweet. I love that you had that element. I love that you're beaming joy out of your face right now. It's good. So you feel you're.
I feel great. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm having my period, and it feels like a little like Steven Seagal is trying to work its way out of my middle section of my body. And it's just like kicking down. I'm like, okay, you're going to come out. I don't know why you're pushing so hard. Like, everything is going to come out. No one's trying to stop you. So I've got a hot water bottle on me. I just took some Advil, hydrated. Yeah. And I closed out my home yesterday. So I'm like,
congrats.
In this very sweet space. Like, this morning I woke up and like looked around like, hi, house. Like, it just feels like this house loves me and I love it back. And it's a very sweet, you know, I'm like, it's my job to take care of you now, you know?
Yes.
So it's a really sweet feeling. So I'm good.
Good. You were already taking care of your home.
Yes. I'm blessed because it's like, I've been living here for 2 years and it has been a beautiful home for me. It has held a lot already, but there's something about, you know, as a renter, what I've always loved is being like, ooh, something's wrong. Owner, something is wrong. Now I feel like I can feel all these preventative thoughts in me. Like, oh, how do I create the conditions for like nothing to go wrong?
Exactly.
And oh, I want to make sure I find like a handy person that I feel really good about to come and kind of do the highest quality of work for me and stuff like that. So it feels also like a way of weaving into community, is feeling like, okay, who are the people that I want to build a relationship with to also have them fall in love with my home and to be able to bring their best skills to it. So
I
have someone who I already
reached
out. Yeah. I'm like, there's someone who I'm like, I know to be a garden magician. And so I'm like, can you come help me think through, as a non-garden magician, can you help me think through what to plant so that I have maximum beauty for minimal, like, you know, I'm just not going to get in the dirt. So I love it. I love to look at it, but I'm like, I just have learned this about myself at my big age that I'm like, okay, I'm going to be writing and I just want to step outside and be like, oh, a rose bush, a hummingbird, like magic. So we're figuring those things out.
I love it. I mean, the reason that resonated with me is just in party planning. I definitely was trying to think about who are the people that are helping to co-create the space. So the DJ was a friend from school who is now like, you know, known in the world as a DJ.
Ooh.
And then my
bestie YOLO.
YOLO, who got me into
YOLO,
who got me into astrology, found the caterer, young queer man in Atlanta, who did an excellent job, and also the bartender, a friend of his, another gay Atlantean. So like Black, gay, queer, love everywhere. And again, you can see their signs sort of working in their in their gifts. Our bartender was a Scorpio, and I just think of Scorpio as slinging a little, you know, poison, liquid courage. You know, like I felt like that was very apropos.
With a little, I feel like the Scorpio bartender crossover must be very, very high.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's a very particular skill set. So I am using this terminology of witch. It's how I'm holding things, but I'm always wanting to know how my guests hold things. So how do you identify the work you do in the realm of astrology and magic?
Yeah, I definitely identify with witch. Since moving to Chicago, yeah. I started a coven of three.
Great.
So I have two witchy friends and we meet once a month to do witchy things, look at tarot, talk about life, get deep into astrology. I think I've become so much more comfortable with witch in relationship to my journey by the other people who are around me.
Yes.
And also even diving into family lore a little bit. So my mom's mom. Okay. Yeah.
I'm with
so,
it.
So, great grandma Mamie was a midwife. And my mom's older sibling stories are of having to fetch her black bag with her midwifery tools in it and take it to where she needed when she had to deliver a baby. And I just think of that and my mother's mother, my grandma, you know, poor working in living in Alabama, living in the South, and gardening and like growing the food that they needed in the house. My mom said they were never hungry. Like they That's might not true. Have liked what they ate.
You're like, broccoli. Yeah.
My mom does not eat okra to this day because she has had all of the okra that she ever needs in life.
Bullshit completed.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's just another thing, like that growing energy, that witchy thing feels very much connected to both the familial lineage and then the people around me.
And, you know, one of the things I like about you most, it's a long list, but one of the things is that you're very pragmatic and very practical. And like, when I think of like baby Moya, I think of someone who was like figuring out how things worked. When in this journey, did you feel drawn to these witchy practices?
You know, I feel like it's always there. Like something people don't know about science or forget about science is that science was very much connected to religion. Like it's a more recent phenomenon that science and religion, the mystic got separated. So when I was a kid, I had a chemistry set and I was like, mixing up stuff, but I used to call it potions. Like I had even though I'm doing these chemistry experiments, I was calling it potions myself. And then I'll say too, that there's something about, I don't know, just the mechanics of life that is still very complicated. Mm-hmm. I was pre-med all through undergrad and really thought I was going to be a medical doctor. And that healing part of it is what attracted me. The divorcing of the healing from the scientific piece has always been a problem for me. And I think that's one of the reasons medicine is so fraught and so hard for Black people to navigate, because it has become this antiseptic, you know, thing that does not connect to the spirit.
Yeah.
And I think healing has to happen on multiple levels, not just the physical. And medicine's attempt to separate those things creates such problems. You know, I think about the idea that you have a separate doctor for your teeth or for your eyes, and mental health is not considered to be part of the realm when there's so many ways that that affects the physical. There's no whole systems approach to medicine now. So I think part of my healing witchiness is reintegrating those things that our society would say should be separate.
What was the first practice for you inside of that?
Ooh, I mean, astrology, I think, is one of the first things that I learned. YOLO and I were roommates when I lived in Atlanta.
That's so cool.
And YOLO got me deep, deep into the astrology world.
Yeah.
And from that, and I would say I even had an attraction before that, because as a high school student, I had a psychology professor who was really into Myers-Briggs. And so like I was all into that union typing, which I think of as like, you know, corporate astrology in so many ways.
Yes.
So yeah, I think it was always there, but now I have this richer, longer tradition to draw on, and one that doesn't have like the fraught history, because, you know, Myers-Briggs, like there's racist, sexist history with those dudes.
There's some serious stuff going on with those guys and with a lot of these systems. Like, I think so often it's like these systems and tests go viral and people just start using them without really examining like what is underneath it, where does it come from. I think it's also one of the things that has brought me back over and over again to astrology, knowing that there's actually multiple systems of astrology and you can find the one that makes the most sense to your system. And then it really does make sense. You know, I'm always just like, I only like things that make sense, you know, like,
yes,
when it comes to like trying to apply a system, I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm not using that one, you know? So you mentioned some of your lineage along your maternal line in terms of where you see these seeds planted. And I wonder if there are other witches, ancestors, or teachers that are part of your lineage for how you do your work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned my mom's mom and my great grandmother, but also my mom as well. Like, my mom is a bomb cook. Like, I mean, I knew it, like, growing up, she just, like, she comes from a tradition of, like, making things. So, like, everything was from scratch, and it wasn't a thing. It's just, like, that's how you did it. Ooh. And so that's the kind of kitchen I grew up in. So I've always cooked, and it's, you know, that magic of, you know, this is why I'm not a baker, because, like, baking is more science. Like, you need exact precise measurements. But my mom, you know, just, it's muscle memory, and it's things I learned how to do because I watched her do them. We make these yeast rolls in our house, and the process for the yeast rolls takes a bit of time, but it's just autopilot. And that's something I got from her. And food is magic is something that I'm really connected with now. I have a good friend who I met in Atlanta, who's now a professor at Colgate, Taryn Jordan. And Taryn Jordan's father was the first black executive chef in Vegas. Okay. And so Taryn and her dad grew up cooking, and Taryn has really taken food into her graduate practice, their graduate practice. And one of the things they did for one of my early birthday parties, one of the early Gemini jams, Taryn did the food. Taryn and their then partner, Ceci, did these tacos. And I mean, just food as a language, and food as medicinal, and food as magic is very much something that I think of as part of my teaching that I'm getting from Taryn. And then I mentioned Demita Frazier, one of the co-writers of the Combahee River Collective. And Demita and I met when I was living in Boston. And Demita can burn, okay? Like, when I tell you Demita can cook, Demita can cook. But in addition to cooking and all of the movement work, Demita is a deep astrologer. Like, Demita knows, astrology very deeply. Like, it's one of those things that's sort of in the background. I have just been very blessed to have people come in my life who are very much of that mindset. And I've had good mentoring and also collaborative working relationships with other witchy people. So it's been lovely.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all. It's me, Autumn. Do you miss me? I miss you. Sabbatical is going great so far, though. Like, I'm totally happy to be on break. But I think about you a lot, and I wonder about whether you're financially supporting the show. I don't know. I think about it. If you're thinking about it, there is a way to do it. It's by going to patreon.com/endoftheworldshow and signing up to become a patron. You know, now is as good of a time as any. Whether I'm a part of the season or not a part of the season, it's still a good time to support the show. So, yeah, if you miss me and you want to let me know, it's a great way to let me know. Please go to patreon.com/endoftheworldshow. Thank you. Okay, let's get back into it.
Tell me about like a day in your witchy life. Like, what are all the ways you actually practice your witch work, as much as you're willing to share about both your personal practice and like if there's practices you do for or with others?
Yeah. One of my big witchy practices that started when I moved away from Atlanta. When I moved away from Atlanta, I made my first altar that I kept. I did a postdoc at Penn State, and it was really, really hard. It was really a tough time. And a witchy friend that I had met online, a Tumblr friend, had given me a little bamboo, like a little happy bamboo that's very small and tiny. Yeah. And I had to keep that alive in Penn State. And it's sort of like, you know, guarding the flame. So I think about it because it was so sad and sickly, like when I was at Penn State, which reflected my feeling at the time. But, you know, since like then, I still have it. And it's grown to like, it's taller than me. It's massive.
That's incredible.
It's massive. So I felt like that altar and having that practice start is one of the witchy ways that I have carried through. I also do like a year ritual. Do ways that I review the year and think about what I want for the new year. And this year, my mentee, Corshay Williams, who's a graduate student at MIT, came to see me in Chicago, and we did all the witchy things for New Year. So, you know, our 12 grapes for, you know, good luck for every month. And we wrote letters to ourselves that we were going to send each other halfway through the year to kind of check our progress. And we were able to exchange them at my birthday party. So just little things like that to kind of keep things in line. And one more witchy practice that I have found so helpful is vision boarding. Vision boarding has been a key element to how I've been able to like, move things forward. I love a vision board.
I love that. It's like casting a spell for your life.
Yes. Casting a spell, and it's been working. It's been working. And I'll say last thing, just to connect it back to how we met. I had this feeling like I wanted to know how to build an altar and I didn't know. And just magically there was a Allied Media Conference session where someone,
Langston Kahn.
Yes, Langston Kahn. Yes, did an altar. Wonderful. Like, I literally had that thought. I was like, I need to know how to do this. And then the workshop happened. And then later, I was like, yeah, I need to get deeper in my vision boarding bag. And then another AMC workshop made that happen. So I also think that we're already doing this a little bit in movement, seeing the connections between witchy and where we're trying to go.
This is beautiful. I feel like part of what I've been interested in with this podcast is like letting people know kind of the way it like weaves into a day, weaves into a life, weaves into you know, for me, the way I now, like when I'm looking ahead at like, okay, when are we supposed to do this event? When are we supposed to, when is the publishing date for this? Oh, that's not going to work. You know, really starting to get clear on like what's supposed to be moving for me in a given moment. And just being like, I'm in a daily relationship with this. And I think here, you know, part of what I'm interested about the project we're working on is like this idea that there's so much in our charts that can actually help us crystallize and clarify and sharpen the offer that we can make with our lives. And I think we build off the work of astrologers that we love.
Yes.
You know, and weave in the work of astrologers that we love. You know, the idea is to really have this be a project with many voices and many possibilities for people, but something that, you know, you can sit down and be like, okay, so this is what is present in this organization, or this is what's present in myself. And like, yeah, that should absolutely shape, that is going to shape how we relate to the other people in this space. It is going to shape how I show up in a given moment. But I also feel like kind of, there's a part of me that wants to defang astrology. Cause I'm like, to me, at least, I'm like, it's not equivalent to religion. It's equivalent to scientific systems of understanding the world, you know?
Spoken like a true Virgo. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's important for me, right? Because I'm just like, it actually kind of befuddles me all the time that people can see the ways that the planets work and the ways that everything impacts everything else. And the fact that we are in orbit and in gravitational relationships that can impact entire oceans, but we think that we would be outside of that celestial impact. And to me, the most humbling practice I've ever found for that has been astrology of like, oh, I am a living creature on an earth that is inside of gravitational relationships. So I'm going to be impacted by the celestial bodies in this gravitational field of mine. And that's the good news, is that that can give me some guidance and possibilities for what I do. So I'd love to just have you riff a little bit, share a little bit about what is exciting to you about that project. And yeah, if we pull it off, like, what do you think it will do? How will it impact people's capacity to be in movement with each other?
Yeah, I love that. I really appreciate that scientific perspective. And I think I really straddle that place of witchiness and astrology as, again, science and also something else, something spiritual. And definitely not. Yes, definitely not religion in the way that I think a lot of us on the left are skeptical of religion, you know, but religion hurts so many people.
Yes.
But I think I also have that skepticism of science too, that science has also hurt a lot of us. You know, I love those little placards people have in front of their houses, like this house believes in whatever. And I'm always like, asterisk, you know, science is real. And also science has so much sexism, misogyny, you know, it's homophobia, transphobia baked in. Right. Yeah. So I think my approach to astrology is similarly like open, you know, what's here that's useful, and, you know, take what, I think this is from you actually, you know, take what works and leave the rest, you know, like, like we've got to think through how this can really support us in getting closer to the world we want and the relationships that we want. When I think about transformative justice and the world we're trying to build, I don't know how we're going to do that if we can't deal with conflict. And so much of our conflict to me has to do with misunderstandings and people not having a sense of like, what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
And that what do you mean is very much based on your own perspective and the assumption that people think like you and have a similar motivation that you would have if they had done something. So I am really hopeful of this book giving people the opportunity to think differently about how people move and like what might be people's motivation and why people might have the perspective that they have.
Yes.
And also to free people a bit about what they should be doing or could be doing for movement. Not exactly. Everybody is supposed to be on the front lines.
Nope.
Not everybody is supposed to be doing something that looks like, I don't know, getting arrested, et cetera.
Yeah.
There are roles for everyone. And I'm really hopeful that this book will give people a way to tap into what their natural gifts and strengths are, where they can lean in and perhaps put more energy. We haven't talked about this in terms of our book together, but I've been thinking a lot about North Node and South Node.
Me too.
And just like how your South Node, like this is what you're bringing. This is like, these are skills that you already have. This is the easy light work for you.
That's right.
Like, how can we mobilize that towards organizing and getting closer to what we believe in?
I love that, Moya. You know, I just had this moment of doing deeper chart readings for several people that I love, who, you know, for years I've wanted to do them and had suspicions. And I came out with like such good data that I was like, the arguments that we have or the moments of conflict and moments of tension are directly about where our Mars placements are, right? Like it's super clear. And I understand how hard it is for us to understand each other when things get hard, because yes. our Mars is send us where, you know, where our placement of Mars is sends us to opposite corners of all understanding and existence. And I'm like coming into organizational spaces and being able to say like, we have this knowledge. It's a possibility that we could apply it. It feels really helpful. And I'm very excited about this. It also feels like it leans into this next question, but maybe there's more too, which is, what are some witchy skills that you wish everyone had in this apocalyptic time?
Ooh, I think one of the witchy skills that I wish everyone had is the ability to think about life as cyclical. Uh-huh. I think that there's a way that we have internalize the urgency of now. And I know this is part of your work with this podcast, is to think about if we're in apocalypse actively, then how does that mean we move?
Yes.
And I think that could help center us and have us think more long-term.
Yes.
I think that the right is so good. Like, even though they don't have astrology, but they do have religion, they have talking points, they have regular connection, they have media, they have so many things that we are not organized by on the left.
Yes.
I do think that there's something really powerful about us learning and agreeing to some central tenets. Mm-hmm. And astrology, I think, provides something like that. That's pretty loose and doesn't have to be as dogmatic as what they're doing over there. But it could provide a nice framework for how we want to relate to each other, how we might go forward. And if we have a sense of the world as cyclical, I do think that that opens up the possibility for us to, you know, hand off the baton and not feel like we are responsible for doing everything ourselves, that there's something else that's going to come after. And we're also sowing seeds that will be harvested after we're gone.
That's right. I mean, I think of it as right-sizing our generational load, you know, that it's just like, there really is each generation, you know, Fanon talked about this, like each generation has a particular set of work that is ours to do. And it involves being in relationship to the work that came before us. And it involves hopefully making the work easier for those who come after us, clearer for those who come after us, but we can't do that work for them, you know? And that has been, I think, such a humbling part of my movement trajectory. I think it might even be you know, I think a lot about the question of maturity, right? What is maturity? Because I'm like, it's definitely not just related to age. But like, when do you know when you're having experiences? I'm like, oh, I'm maturing in this moment. And it feels like one of the ways I have matured is by having respect for past and future generations, right? That I'm like, oh, y'all were doing the best you could given the conditions you were in, and you learned a ton and you made it possible for us to be doing this now. And we've got to make it possible for something else to happen. And y'all will do things we can't even imagine. And I love, and then inside of that cannot imagine, there'll be things that reach back or things that regress or things that move in. You know, it's like this cycle continues. That's totally being human. You know, it's just like making more space for us. But I also feel like I'm excited about this project because I think there's a way that people use astrology that is so reductive and that is so like, oh, you're that. Oh, you know, I've decided everything about you based on your sun sign, which is to me, like you have decided everything about someone based on their nose. Right. And it's just like, well, that's just their nose. Like, that's just like the center of their face and kind of the first thing you'll see. But there's so many other body parts. There's so many parts of the face. And I feel like astrology, like an in-depth or more in nuanced understanding of it, allows for so much more possibility. Like one of my favorite people in the world is a Sagittarius sun, but every single other thing that's happening in that chart is like significant water, 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 water. And I'm like, if you try to move through the world as a Sagittarius with just that understanding, you're going to feel dry and dusty and burnt out and crispy and like all this stuff, because you need spaces for flow. And if you don't have those, it's never, nothing's going to feel right. And then what does that look like when you join an organization? What does that look like when you're in a conflict moment? You know, I'm collaborating now. The world keeps sending me Geminis and Pisces to collaborate with. Mm-hmm. So I'm really learning a lot about the time it takes to process things. You know, mm-hmm. I'm also a slow processor, but in a different way than like a Pisces is, and a different way than a Gemini is. And it, everything that's happening in the chart matters. So I hope that it gives people space to bring astrology into their worldview and their work with less assumption and more yes. like information and agency.
I love this nose idea, because it took me down this like thought process of like, you know, I'm loving your septum piercing and thinking about like, you know, noses, there's so much happening there. It's not always the same. And there's so many things that shape it. Like it's influenced, your nose is influenced by your parents.
Yes.
Like there's the genetic factor. There's things that happen to you.
Yeah.
Did you break your nose? You know? And if we're thinking about Virgo noses, I'm thinking about Michael Jackson, who,
oh my goodness, who, have you tried to destroy your nose in an effort to, you know, process internalized hatred?
This is what I'm saying. Like there's something there. There's something there about thinking about how we focus on one part.
Yes.
And there's so much making until that up.
Collapses. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's deep work. You know, I also think about the patterns of the kind of people who end up leading in certain ways. There's so much about where was the moon when you were born, and what does that have to do with the kind of life you live? This north node, south node piece is like the big, like, I'm like, creeper data that you could really deeply use in your life. Your relationship to Chiron actually like really matters. And inside of movement, I think we see so many wounded healers who I'm like, there's actually a lot of ways we can ground ourselves collectively for the fact that we're drawn together because of shared wounds. And
absolutely,
how do we thus create a space where we are centering shared care? like we can actually do these things. So, you know, that's also, I think my hope is that even if people are like, I still don't fuck with astrology, I don't care how great y'all are, whatever. It's too, you know, I understand the critiques of it. You know, I'm like, I understand that people, humans in general, when we get into something, tend to take it to culty levels. You know, we tend to go too far. That's the species. That's not something I can really take responsibility for. But I will say, I think it will give people more agency and a little bit more understanding of like the worldview, right?
Yes.
Which is like, there are things that if you know them, you get to make more informed choices about how you're moving. And this is one of those arenas where it's like, I don't mess with stuff that's a waste of my time. Like I go every Monday and I listen to my Chani Nicholas, like what's coming up, because it is going to come up. And it's like down to, you know, she gets me down to the wire on like, today you're going to have a conflict with someone, blah, blah, blah. Today, you're going to have a major moment of good news and money. Today, this is going to happen, you know, probably something in this realm. And it's always like so spot on that I'll text people and be like, this is just weird. I believe in it. And it's still really weird. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, it astounds me that people are moving through the world without that level of information. And I can see the suffering that comes from being like, oh, you're taking this personally, not understanding that there's just a conjunction happening in the sky that's got everybody twisted right now. And the normalization of like, we're all actually in this moment. We're all, you know, we're all having a moment of communication breakdown, or we're all having a moment where we're going to lose something that may feel important to us.
Yes. I so appreciate this invocation of cults. I'm teaching a course this fall called Cults, Communes, and Congregations.
Good.
And part of the impetus, part of the impetus for that class is thinking about the, you know, very thin line between those divisions.
Yes.
And the thing that separates religion from a cult, you know, people say is time. And I would say with astrology, you know, there are sects, yes, where people go that far.
Yes.
Just as there are with religions.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we have to think about what it is that it's giving us, because I think humans really want we want a framework. We want to help ourselves
understand. We want to follow things.
Yeah. We need something that helps us move through this world, because otherwise it feels a little bit too much. And
yeah,
when you talk about, you know, right size generational load, I'm also thinking about right sizing our community capacity. You know, what can we do,
yes,
to create the transformative justice that we want in our lives?
That's right.
Because I don't know. And I think people are clear. I don't think we can do that at the level of a nation state. I don't think we can that at the level of a state, a city, like maybe a block, you know, neighborhood.
That's right.
But that requires some shared values and some way that we're some shared language, so that we're talking to each other in the same way. And figuring out what that line is between a communication that is shared and agreed upon, that isn't forcing people into a certain kind of relationship that's dogmatic and cult-like, religion-like, etc. That's what I think we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think there's something in there. You know, to me, one of the main distinctions is like giving people all the information they need to make their own choices about things, even if the choice is to continue to follow someone or something, right?
Like, absolutely.
I feel like I remember having that experience with Grace Lee Boggs, where when I was first coming around people who like were messing with Grace, I was like, y'all are scaring me. Like, everyone's quoting her all the time. It's getting on my nerves and it's weird. Stop it. And then I built my own relationship with her, and which I started to find myself quoting her all the time and going to sit and listen, because I was like, she's really giving me agency and she's telling me, go read the books yourself, make your own conclusions. Here's what I've gotten from it. Engage it yourself, though. What do you actually think? And there was such a, you know, for me, like a spiritual teacher in the way that she pragmatically offered her wisdom. I also think that there's something inside of this that allows us to say there are traits which are fundamentally built into how we are, how we're structured. that we get to choose what to do with, but we can't necessarily deny. And, you know, I'll speak from my own experience, especially because my interest in cults predates my visibility. But once my visibility hit, I was like, hold on, I really have to figure out how to stop this. Like, I mm-hmm. really have to figure out how to stay in touch with my humanity and not get over pedestaled in a way that is dangerous, right? I'm like, I want to live and be an old lady. And I know that that's not what happens to cult leaders. And that's not what happens to people who, you know, who people just look at as a god or whatever thing, you know, whenever we push people up away from us, we're putting them in danger. So I was like, I don't want to be up there and paying attention to the cult thing. But then also from my astrology, I'm like, my Mercury is in Leo. Like the sun is going to shine on whatever I say and communicate. And there's a part of me that in order to fully live into my gifts needs to figure out like how to receive that sunlight, how to receive it in a way that is healthy for the rest of my system. And which a lot of the rest of my system is very much like, I am a hermit living in a cave, mm-hmm. except when I come out and the sun shines on what I have to say, then I want to go right back into my cave.
Yeah.
Where I will be happy in my little Venus and Libra love left, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, knowing that means when I realized it, I stopped trying to stop the sun or cover myself from the sun or cast shadow on my technology of communication. And instead I was like, how many people can stand in the sun with me? Because the sun's going to shine to where I'm saying something, you know? So it's like, okay, get co-hosts, get co-authors, get co-editors, collaborate. Like, you know, the sun's going to be where you are. So collaborate. So that kind of thing, right? Where I'm like, what does it look like if more and more leaders in movement are able to look at their own thing and be like, here's where the sun's going to shine on me. Here's where my shadows are going to come up. Here's where I can go very deep with the work. Here's where I can synthesize. These are just traits that we got gifted and they yes. get distributed based on these star technologies. It's kind of amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying here,
yeah.
No, just it reminds me of what Damita was saying about astrology as potential,
yes.
because you can choose, you can make a choice to ignore the sunlight. You could decide to stay
yes.
in your cave. It's that is a choice you could make.
But yes, you can try. I tried.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good. Yeah. Yeah. But there are consequences for that. And I do think that for some people, you know, getting access to your gifts is so much shaped by the world we live in. Like, oh, yeah. I think astrology is a nice reminder for people who have been shaped by a society that doesn't allow particularly marginalized folks to delve into their gifts or exactly. to uplift their gifts. So yeah. astrology can be the reminder that's like, actually, I was a really great artist when I was 5 and I was really into, that's in my chart. That's interesting. I haven't put attention there. I haven't had the freedom energy to do that. But what happens if I do it now? It just gives people, I think, more permission. And yes. the reminder too, that all of this is in us, you know, it's
all
not even just
is in all of us.
All of it is in all yes. of us. Right. So it's not just that you're not, no one is not an artist. The question is where? The question
That's
is
right.
what part of your life gets activated with your creativity? And astrology.
You say that. Go.
No, just astrology is a window into where your art form can be.
I am laughing because what came up for me as you were saying that was when people say, oh, I'm not an artist. I'm like, you just made up a story right there. You know, like, I'm like,
yes.
everyone makes up a story about themselves and tells it.
Yes.
That's one of the first ways that we're all creative. And we might tell it to ourselves. We might tell it to others, but we're making up this story about ourselves. And that story could be really shaped by the family of origin. It could be shaped by the schooling that we get. But at a certain point, part of being an adult to me is looking and being like, here's where the parts of the story from others came. And within me, there's a story of my own. And how do I find an alignment and a balance in all of that? And again, I find astrology a really helpful way to find that alignment and balance, because I'm like, I'm not just a Virgo. I'm not just a kid striving for perfection to please my parents. I'm not, you know, just someone who's conflict avoidant. I'm not just this. There's more, right? And I get in this lifetime to explore as much of it as I can. But I find the astrology points me towards the places where I'm like, this is the path with the most ripe fruit along it. You know, you'll go far.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, all right, last question. Do you have any advice for folks on doing witch work and readings and other things for others whilst engaged in your own healing practices? Because like, I find that I'm like right now I'm in a major, major place of recovery and healing around my relationship to food. And it means I'm having to like really check in with myself on like my intuition and what I can trust and what I know. And I can still feel the things that channel and move through me that are for others. Right. And a lot, but it's very internal. It's very intimate, you know, but I do have to check in with myself. Like, am I in a good place right now to make this offer? So I just wondered if there's stuff like that for you where you're like, yeah, I'm in my own journey and I'm also still in touch with this gift.
Yes. So I mentioned that Corshay and I made, you know, these ideas about what we wanted for this year. And I usually do it by words, and I love alliteration. So my words were reciprocity, regimen, and rest. And regimen was this word that I added, but it has been really hard to manifest. I have not been as regimented as I wanted to be. And for some reason, I mean, I think that is because I have been regimented through my whole life. Like that is very much me. Yes. And actually this year, I think calling that word up for myself was about playing with not being regimented.
That's right.
So like my witchy sense knew that that was a word that I needed to think through, but not in the way that I thought of, which was like, I'm getting up at this time every morning. I need
more routines that are more rigorous. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was like, actually let's play with things being not so regimented. Let's play with that. And it's actually been such a wonderful gift because so many things have happened this year that I could not have predicted, that regimen did not prepare me for.
Yeah.
That to me, I think, is getting back to the flow. And the flow is definitely not regimen. Like that's following the path.
Mm-hmm. I really love this. Because I feel like a lot of times people ask me, like, what's your routine? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, it actually changes a lot. There's elements that I know I need in every day. And there's certain things I'm like, oh, when I wake up and do this, this is really good for me. But if I wake up and I don't do that because something else is calling to me, I trust that calling. You know, I always try. I'm like, my intuition, my calling is pulling me into the day. And then I'm, yeah, it's like trying to figure out, I'm like, okay, can I trust this? Cause I feel like I can, you know, I have those moments, but I really love that for you. I love imagining the deregimentification of your life and being able to land in, you know, I keep noticing that I'm like, life is still lifing, like it's doing all the things, but I'm having an easier time of moving through it because I'm not trying to be in charge of everything as much. And I'm not trying to control what other people do as much. Yes. I'm really just tuned into like, what's my next step here? What's my next step based on what I believe? What's my next step based on who I love? What's my next step? You know?
Yes.
Oh, Moya, you're the greatest.
Thanks, Andy.
You're the greatest. I'm going to read you a poem from Fables and Spells. You ready? It's called Night. The first time we howled, the moon was a sliver, a cup of light poised to pour a stardust fascinator of gold on the blue-black. We were life moving through the forest, stepping on small branches which snapped with our weight. Maple cracks sharp, oak cracks wet, magnolia cracks like fire. We sought the soft needles of pine. The moon was not bright enough to cast truth on the borders, to say here, not here, there. All we could hear was the drum of fear. Almost there, almost there. We were 3 miles free before we came to the endless river moving slow. The sun rising to pull pink steam off the glistening path. Us, hunched on the rocks, with fingers sliding into river. It's so cold we gasp. Then we laugh. We're so free we gasp. And then we laugh.
So many things that brought up for me. One, the moon is a big part of my witchy practice.
Yes.
And so the moon stages, I mean, I think there's so much lore around the full moon, but there's so much happening when the moon is in its other phases that we that we don't pay attention to. So I really appreciate that. And also, three is like a number for me. So three coming up is just like, again,
this is for you.
Yeah.
This has been another oracle practice.
Yeah. It's something too about how we relate, even when we're in a dynamic that is two. Like, I think about synergy, like one and two makes three, because there's the pieces coming together, but then there's this new thing that gets formed from the two that creates another entity. So I'm thinking about our project in that vein, like a third entity coming from the two of us.
Ah, we're making a third thing.
It's trying to make a three from that two.
In the one. Wow, I feel so loved by that reference. Are you going to see our Beyonce this summer?
You know, me myself personally cannot do crowds that size. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it.
Very legitimate. I will represent on behalf of the team.
Yes, I'm so excited. people are getting their whole entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to navigate it because I don't like crowds. I can't walk very far. All the things are true about my body is like, I don't do that. But my spirit, soul, and heart are like, I can't not. So there's been a lot of internal reckoning. Not reckoning about whether I'm doing it. It was like, go say yes to any ticket that becomes available and then you'll figure it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm in the process. So I adore you so much.
Likewise.
I adore you so much. Is there any top culture thing that you want to shout out that you have been like loving and listening to or watching?
Oh my gosh, reading? The Ultimatum.
Okay.
The Queer Ultimatum has been taking over.
Did you watch the finale?
I did. And speaking of astrology,
did you see them put out this article that was like, here's the like core sun signs of each of these couples and the rematches. And I was like, this was a disaster waiting to happen. Okay. So I would love to do, this might be the project that emerges from this movement astrology book, is an astrology dating show, an astrology based reality TV dating show.
Listen.
Where it's like we do companion compatibility. And then like have the dating happen based on like deep
compatibility. And we need more than sun sign. You got to have more than sun sign to do this correctly.
I'm just like, what is Mal's moon? Stop fucking around and just tell me. Anyway.
I have things that are not appropriate for here, but yes.
I mean, I had a lot of thoughts and feelings about the whole thing. And ultimately, I feel pretty satisfied by the results. Because I do think that the premise of the show is that these people should not be together. That's to me, the premise of it, like the fundamental underlying thing.
None of these couples should be together.
I'm like, absolutely. If you're doing ultimatums, then no, it's actually, you're already at a no.
I know.
That's my belief. So I'm like,
I 100% agree.
But I will watch every single second of that process.
Absolutely.
And I think all reality TV shows should be queer because the quality of conversation.
The quality.
Oh, talk about it. Now, I also want to do a crossover show where it's an ultimatum style show times couples therapy, right? Because I'm like, the missing link here is that's y'all it. Are flying around without necessary support
structure. With a random straight host?
That host made me furious. And who I'm did in like, what?
Added nothing. Added
not a thing. And I'm like, no offense to your spirit and your soul, girl, but you just were not the right person for this job. And you should have said no, because exactly. It's clearly a queer host position. And there's so absolutely. Many incredible queers, both of us included, who would have done that job to themax.com. I'm like, come this on. Is unacceptable to me. Unacceptable. And anyway, I didn't know I had that strong. I feel strongly.
Listen,
about it.
No, it's been like that. It's and been you know like who it that. It's been? Been a conversation.
Piff's friend Natasha. To me, I'm like, if you're not going to have me, have Natasha. Natasha was the one who was like asking the hard questions to Tiff and just being
listen,
like, what the hell?
All of their friends, the friends that we met.
The friends need their own show.
The friends need their own show.
They need their
Sam's
own show.
Sam's friend, who's
Sam's
fucking
friend was so great.
Comforting Aussie. Yes. After a complete
top somatic opening wild breakdown, I'm like, I recognize exactly what's happening. And look at this person who's like, I'm here. I was like, I'm so moved by this.
You
I'm
know?
So moved by all of it. The intimacy, the honesty. You know, even Mal's best friend, who
that's
I loved
because
that was like the skeptic who was just like,
yes.
I don't know about this whole damn situation. I'm like, exactly. Exactly.
That's what anyway. I'm saying. All the friends.
Yeah.
All the friends.
Where are they now? Like, literally, where is Natasha? Okay, anyway.
I'm gonna go I see it for you. I see that, actually.
I think the only red flag for me with Natasha is that they're friends with Tiff.
Because
I'm like, Tiff,
agreed.
I can't.
Agreed.
I can't deal with that.
Agreed.
That just, like, and I have nothing against dogs, but that just was, I'm like, we would not, no. I'd be like, you have to go home. Listen, you have to go.
Sam was an absolute saint. I just need to
Sam
see that
is a
last
saint.
Week.
And Sam is also kind of a universal flavor. Like, I was like, Sam is someone who I feel like could have gone with anybody there and like made the best possible experience out of it and
exactly.
And help bring dignity to the situation. I feel like Sam won the show.
Sam did win the show.
And I feel like Xander won their freedom. And I do want to see Mal with someone black. That's my final thoughts. But I'm just like, I just
agreed.
Think Mal, I think a yummy little cuddling black person who's doesn't need a ton of sex. That's the only reason Mal and I can't be together. Someone who
you
needs
caught
love.
That, right? Like oh. Just that little thing.
I was just like, listen, all I recognize
I
that
it.
Shape. I recognize that shape.
Yes.
I don't need that. But someone does, and someone's gonna
someone is gonna eat that up.
Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With or cuddles. Not, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Shake these. All right. Shake I'm really glad we had this talk. Love you so much.
Thanks for listening to our show. This is Autumn. I'm on sabbatical, but I can't stay away. And I'm here to tell you that we are on Twitter and Instagram at End of the World PC. We're also on Facebook at End of the World Show. You can make a sustaining donation to our show by visiting our page at patreon.com/endoftheworldshow. Another incredibly helpful thing you can do to help our show sustain itself is to write us a review on Apple Podcasts if you're an iPhone person. Thank you. How to Survive the End of the World is produced and edited by the incomparable Zach Rosen and transcribed by Liz Fertig. Music for today's show comes from Tunde Olaniran and the Bangsons.